Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, today, our fun drive, we welcome James Fadiman, maybe skidding in, right, and Jordan Gruber, whose most recent book is Microdosing for Health, Healing, and Enhanced Performance. It is offered as a pledge incentive for $150. We'll more on that. It's timely, as we have outsourced authority to those with cunning but no heart, the devolutionary nadir of our rogue species. So sacraments of collaborative kinship, symbiotic mutualism, and participatory animism are especially welcome. You know, we're in this riptide of science proving folklore, and as buddy and friend of show Paul Stamets has said, Johns Hopkins is reporting that psilocybe mushrooms encourage curiosity, confidence, and kindness, and those are qualities of true leadership. So, yes, many of you know James Fadiman's work and Jordan Gruber's work as well. He's a Renaissance wordsmith. Welcome, Jordan Gruber.
Yeah, hi, Caroline. Jim is ready to be called back. He's available now. It's great
I'm
to be
here.
On
okay.
the show with you.
Oh, and you're here. You're here, Jim. That
yes.
wonderful.
I am here.
Welcome.
I am here.
That's great. It's a quirky time. Thank you both so much. And it was 14 years ago that you met longtime Menlo Park resident James Fadiman, who just published the book, The Psychedelic Explorer's Guide, Safe, Therapeutic, and Sacred Journeys. And now your follow-up book, right, with Jordan Gruber. How wonderful. Well, thank you, team, so much. And it's a democratic show. I've got a million sticky notes and everything, but you both go wherever you feel to. And I'll jump in at quirky times. So something I found, that you both write that cannabis blocks neuroplasticity, THC, you know, whereas,
yep.
Again, the psilocybes enhance neuroplasticity. Oh, that was new, interesting information. Do either one of you want to comment on that?
I'll comment on it. I mean, this came up because writing this book, we have to set some demarcation points about what is and what is not based on all the reports we've gotten good for microdosing. So a lot of people said, well, I microdose cannabis, and we're saying, no, not really. And one of the reasons, in addition to the fact that people don't ever just take one hit and then walk away and come back 3 days later, is that the neuroplasticity profile is really pretty different. Now, it may be the case that if you have older style cannabis that is not so dominant in THC and is much less strong, and people just have a very small bit of it, then it might not be a problem for neuroplasticity. But there's a reason why it's pretty well recommended that younger people and their mid-teenagers not smoke a lot of weed, because it's not going to make them smarter and open up their thinking. They're going to actually have reduced intellect and academic abilities if they go forward like that. So it's just not really an appropriate substance for microdosing.
That's completely intriguing. And CBD, so would you recommend a higher CBD mix in the cannabis realm? It's the THC that blocks neuroplasticity?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we've all found out in the past couple of years that the economic pressures in the cannabis industry have made them produce weed that is mostly THC, high levels of THC, way beyond anything anyone ever experienced. And as a result, you are seeing things about withdrawal symptoms, psychosis. It's not your grandmother's or even your father's weed anymore. It's really this very high potency THC. People need to be doing less of it. It's not as good for us as when it was more natural and you had the CBD and the CBN and the other entourage chemicals. So yeah, I would recommend less very high potency THC.
Yes.
And since it really isn't microdosing,
right.
That's another reason we don't recommend it.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. We will get back to the main feature of your book. And but like much in your book, when I read that, I'm like, oh, it's like something dropped into place as like, oh, yeah, that's right. Ooh, and what you said, because, well, anyway, that's a great thing to put on our work table. And then both of your dedication to microdosing, which I am an enthusiast of, but I'm inspired by your dedications and this book to go, oh, okay, protocol. So, because you have the many forms, you know, there's the Fadiman stacking, there's the Paul Stamets stacking. Do you want to run down the different protocols that you find useful?
Yeah, these protocols have appeared kind of on their own, and all of them have something in common, which is days off. It makes it a little clearer that we're not talking a pharmaceutical, we're talking about something that makes your body healthier. So the Fadiman protocol, so-called, says one day on, take 2 days without using it, and then take it again. And that's microdosing with the Fadiman protocol. Paul Stamets protocol, which also includes lion's mane and niacin for good reasons, is 4 days on and 3 days off. And that's also widely used. Obviously, the common every other day, which you don't have to remember anything, is popular. And then what people who microdose for quite a long time usually say is, well, I know when it's a good time to use it, and that's when I do it. So again, days off, but then it's a now and then protocol.
Right. And you both mention in this fabulous book that everybody should have, microdosing, that day two, people note that day two has its own interesting quality, whether one is taking a microdose or not.
Well, that was the first discovery, is when people were first experimenting with it, and they'd say, you know, I smoked, you know, I took a microdose today, and I felt pretty good. And the next day, I still felt pretty good, and that was a discovery.
Right.
And that's let us know that we were not, most pharmaceuticals, the reason you take them every day or a couple of times a day is they mainly suppress a symptom. And as soon as they leave the body, the symptom returns. Microdosing assists the body and therefore doesn't need to be taken as often.
And we also found out early, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to say that there's some research done that showed that on the second day, that's when people had the best sleep by a significant amount. So there is good stuff going on that second day. And I like to promote the Fadiman protocol more than Jim does, because Jim is modest. But I think it's the best of the protocols, at least for beginners, because it gives you enough time to really feel everything and experience it and to integrate what you're learning. And you end up, you know, if you're doing the Fadiman protocol, you'll be taking in a 31-day month, you'll end up taking the dose 11 times. If you're doing the Stamets 4 and 3, it's 19 times. And that's a lot more. And I just feel that that's too much, and that beginners should really stick with the most conservative protocol. We have a phrase that we like, which is that less is enough.
Right. Right, and it really addresses the American demon, which is more the gorge theory of pleasure, right? Which you address throughout, and we address every day of our lives, going, if this is good, more must be. But no, less is more, a common phrase. And then you're really ardent in animating and making that clear. Yeah, and then I have been inspired. I'm going to be a more disciplined microdoser, because you say, you know, it is important, and so I'm inspired to do that. And we will lay forth, you know, what becomes available. But I had noticed that day two, and I was thinking of it as kind of cumulative, or this real sense of partnership or kinship, in which it's like, oh, day two, I didn't take a microdose, but I feel enhanced pattern perception, many of the things that you describe, and it's like, oh, it's there. So, you know, taking it and not taking it, it's all an interesting partnership, right?
Right. That's the point. Is obviously, Kevin, what you're saying is your body appreciated that you gave it on day one and is still using the changes that were coming about. And that's what we, there's another term for that. It's called healing.
Right. That's super great. And it is healing, you know. You both are quite, you know, forthright in going, this is microdosing, this is not, this is microdose. And I go, oh, I've been a little sloppy. Okay, I'll tighten up here. I do, you know, my words, not yours, but I do find the psilocybe, and we'll go into all the other things, the LSD and Bacopa and Amanita and all of the things that people are microdosing, including ayahuasca, microdosing as an intriguing thing, and then a sacrament of collaborative kinship. I find it enhances pattern perception, increases our relationship to reality, going, oh, patterns. And that's why both of you talk about, you know, Jim, you talk about it's excellent for writing a first draft. I love that.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of journalists who are very grateful for having interviewed me and then trying it out on the story itself and then letting me know, oh, golly, you're right.
No, that's I'm inspired. I'm inspired. I'm rededicated, right? Because you talk about many people going, I don't procrastinate anymore. I look forward to writing. It's sort of like Walter Mosley, great black detective writer, said he views writing as sneaking off to have a fantastic exotic affair. I'm like, oh, what a good idea. And so to kind of reframe it as like, oh, because in a sense, what you're both talking about is, it's a re-enthusing. I love the word enthusiasm.
Oh, it that's means, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, enthusos means that which makes the divine within us dance, right? And so this enthusiasm, it's like I'm often with self and others, when people go, I've got to, I go, even though it's a little corny, going, let's just change it to get to. And I think the microdosing does that. I've got to. I get to write this essay. I get to do the thing, right? I mean, it's a restoration of enthusiasm for life. Is that fair to say?
It is fair to say. Well, and this brings us kind of to the... I'll go. Is fair to say, and it brings us sort of to the two great types of distinction and benefits that we point out in the book. So we have healing of physical and mental conditions, and we also have enhanced performance in everything from coding and doing math homework to writing to art to sports, all the way up to sex. So, you know, on the one hand, it's making things that in your life that are not working well work a little bit better, and then other things that you like and that you're interested in, you're actually better able to do them and more easily able to move into a flow space. And as you said, being more enthusiastic and just being able to do more.
Right. I love that. And, you know, years ago, I was part of a Botanical Preservation Corps retreat in the jungles of Mexico near Veracruz with Terrence McKenna and everything. But there were a whole lot of Silicon Valley people there. This was not microdosing, but we'll micro it back to you both. But all the coders, there was somebody who was, you know, early in Microsoft. All the coders had their different formulas for writing code. Now you're saying, you know, in the micro realm, and what you're describing and interviewing many people in this book, I love that, is that it lowers anxiety. I'm raising my hand to volunteer, you know, and cognitive enhancement. And we go, oh, that's great. Right, Jim says writing the first draft is great. And then, you know, so you're... The book, I guess, is psilocybe, mushroom, microdosing, also LSD. Do you ever do those together?
Most people don't, both because they don't have both. And it's kind of like pouring rum in your vodka.
Ooh.
Okay.
which is they're sufficiently similar that there's not much point. They are different a little bit, but... Mixing them you don't get all the advantages of each one separately when you do them together.
Okay, and then I'll just...
I was going to say that people do, the research shows that there's really not a lot of difference, including at high doses and especially at micro doses. But when you talk to people, they experience LSD as being more of a non-specific amplifier, so you can kind of turn it towards whatever you want to. While if you're microdosing mushrooms, they want to teach you, and they want to heal you, and they want to, you know, have you work on your relationships. But that's you know, just very subjective, but it seems we hear it from a lot of people.
That's a wonderful thing to ponder. LSD, non-specific amplifier. Although, of course, the Eleusinian Mysteries, longest initiatory ritual theater known to humans, people would arrive, they would chant to Dionysus and arrive at Eleusis, and then they would drink an ergot psilocybe brew. Basically, psilocybin LSD was their mix, right?
Well,
I'm not sure
we don't know, but we do know that people... it's a ritual that lasted hundreds and hundreds of years until the Roman Empire and Christianity broke it up. But everyone important in ancient Greece eventually got their opportunity to have that experience.
Right, but it was an ergot psilocybe mixture. I like the scholars who study the Eleusinian Mysteries going guaranteed shared community vision, because apparently everyone had it was a 9-night thing. Everybody had a personal insight that was just for them, not to share. And then everybody had a shared vision in which they saw Persephone descending into the underworld, a maiden returning
right.
an initiated queen. And it turns out
yep.
the word queen is not snooty. It's one of the first words for a woman in her initiated fullness. Right. So, and that's why they go guaranteed shared vision for hundreds of years. Mushrooms is what the academics came to. But okay, so no, but I like that. So you do not recommend microdosing LSD and psilocybe mushroom, even though it's got some antiquity to it, because they're different things.
No, I make one exception. When you're at Eleusis, I think you should do what's appropriate.
Thank you. Thank you. That's great. Okay. And then, you know, so there's LSD, there's psilocybe, and then you say there's microwaska, and you give a website, microwaska.com, and some, well, feel free to say more. You say some people are doing the Banastabi copy by itself.
Well,
anyway, feel free to go wild on this, lads.
Let me take a moment on that. Microwaska is the name of a group that originated in Peru, and they are training people throughout South America in the use of microdoses, and they work directly with the shaman for preparing the medications, or the medicines, or whatever we want to call them.
Right.
And what they found in some countries in South America, ayahuasca is not legal, but in all countries, Banisteriopsis, the vine, is legal. And what they went to the shamans and said, well, what do you do with this problem? They said, well, we're going to tell you a big secret. The healing part is the Banisteriopsis kapi.
Uh-huh.
And you said, well, what about the DMT-containing plants? They said, well, that's kind of for the excitement and the visuals, and you see the deities. But if you're just interested in the healing, the Banisteriopsis kapi does all the work.
Hmm.
That was a revelation to me.
Yeah, completely intriguing. And, you know, I mean, I started off, you know, with teammates, with Stamets and Andy Weil as a little teenager myself. You know, I'm following all this. I've been an entheo enthusiast from the get-go. But this is a great refinement that I want to say also to our team of listeners and citizens out there. This is a really useful, and it's disciplined wildness is what you both are presenting to us, to go. Some structure, some dedication, some reverence. You know, and I did like what you, yes.
Well, just what you said earlier, that the notion that less is enough, it really goes against the whole way this whole civilization's been going for a long time. And so being able to just have a tiny amount where you're not getting high and when you're not getting off, we haven't mentioned this yet, but you know, one of the big differences is that when you're taking a microdose, it remains at a sub-threshold level. You're not having any psychedelic or hallucinogenic effects, no visuals, no big changes in what you're experiencing mentally. You're not afraid to have your ordinary day. People don't know you're on anything. And so you might know that you're on a little bit of something, but it's so below threshold, and yet that is exactly the level that the people who are reporting the best results stay at.
Right. Although we're in a shimmery realm, though, you know, when I say that, you know, I experience, or many people experience, enhanced pattern perception, going, oh, and yep. What you're saying about, you know, writing and all, going, oh, I see the connection. That's a very big thing. I mean, it's a big subtle thing, right?
Right.
Well, that's what a little bit of neuroplasticity does. Yeah.
Oh, right. And then, again, you can go anywhere you want, you know, but you talk about the Aztecs and cacao and psilocybe, right? And cacao is, right, the long history of them being sort of allies, cacao and psilocybe. And somehow in my notes it says encouraging microdosing with cacao as well? Is that, I mean,
yeah.
With the cacao
yeah.
as part of the psilocybe?
Well,
yeah.
Let's go back a little. It's actually something that the Aztecs did. They mixed the two, and then, honestly, they went to parties. And they said they had two uses. One was just to have a good time, and the other was to sit quietly alone and to think.
Mm. Yes.
So I think what we were probably talking about is a difference in doses. But, yes, chocolate, and it's very popular now, microdoses embedded in chocolate, and what we know is it increases the potency, and therefore one has to dose even more carefully.
Ah, right. Well, it's interesting, you know, like what you were saying about, you know, we've kind of hyper-yanged the THC content, and in a similar way with many things. I mean, tobacco was an Aztec and a Mayan god, and it
right.
was for its more contemplative reverie qualities, which then have been bred out into the more addictive qualities too. And so it's like, so do you view your dedication as, you know, restoring contemplation and reverence to our species? Is that
let's say if we only could do that, we would be more than satisfied. The fact
that's good.
Help people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's enough, right?
Yeah. No, let's put it on our altar of desirable mystery, you know, and do you think, you know, the people that go, oh, I can write code with this and I can be a better Silicon Valley guy, you know, do you think mm-hmm. there's something deeper underneath that might be happening as well, going, maybe I don't want to be a Silicon Valley guy, or does it just make you better at whatever you're doing, even if that could be more deeply considered?
For some people, it lets them recognize clearly things they didn't want to look at.
Mm-hmm.
For other people, I remember a young man said, I only microdose when I have a coding problem. He was pretty clear that he liked what he was doing and he liked being better at it. Other people have changed their lives because they realized that whatever they were doing wasn't nourishing and it was depleting them and making them sick. So one of the things that happens with microdosing is a large number of physical conditions also get improved, and that allows people more freedom to make their lives work.
But
right.
it's not the case that people are going to take a microdose. And in fact, there's a story in the book of someone taking too much and being in a sales meeting and realizing
yes.
that they didn't want to be, and they took themselves out because, you know, and so it's not going to give you that kind of epiphany level. I must take huge action to change my life in real time. So that's one of the nice things. It's that it's at a slow enough pace that you have time to experience and integrate and really think things through without feeling compelled to take drastic action.
Although it's ambiguous in your
problem,
book. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. The issue we have is with psychonauts, they say, well, gee, a microdose is going to be a really small, high trip. And it's
right.
not. It's really different. It's actually just something that gets the body and the mind functioning better and, again, more creatively when that's appropriate, literally physically stronger when that's appropriate. Relaxing depression, coming out of depression when that's appropriate. Just think of it as something that accelerates healing at whatever level you need.
Right. and what both of you are expressing and is in the book too, is, you know, complexity and nuance and subtlety and quiet and contemplation. Because the anecdote or that you just referenced, it's a little more ambiguous in the book. Somebody takes a slightly higher dose than they'd intended, goes to a sales meeting about a company, and then in the middle of it goes, I don't really like being here. I don't really like sales. I don't really like doing that. It goes home and then goes, so I won't do that again, and as opposed to like, well, maybe you're going to quit anyway, but it just leaves it hanging there. So there's that. You know, the plants, you know, well, microdosing, you even mention, I think, Ibogaine as a microdosing sacrament.
It's used by the bee tree. We do know from the bee tree in Africa that they use it in a high dose for their initiation into adulthood, and it's a 3-day massive event. They also use it to improve hunting because it improves your visual acuity and your endurance, and they also use it for better sex.
Well, and it's also it's given, you know, a pretty good representation in Wakanda, in the movie where it's Wakanda, where the protagonist takes clearly Ibogaine. You know, it was a tradition, a ruler would take that before they were inaugurated, which comes from the augur. And then I can't quite imagine that people would, on a high dose of Ibogaine, do anything physical. I mean, I did one super duper, and it's like, whoo, that was, right? Amazing. And that was one where people really couldn't, the person who was a guide said, you know, somebody came in a military uniform and couldn't put it back on. You know, and again, you're talking about little subtle things of just coming more into alignment with inner life and outer structure, like a deep appointment with self. Can we think even of the microdosing as just a checking in with one's own integrity, going, my inner life and my outer life, are they in accord?
If that is where you want to focus, you will get help in the focus. But I want to keep being clear that high doses are transformative because you are really letting go of even your personal identity, of space and time, and a few things like that. That's a whole different realm. The massive changes overnight do not occur with microdosing. Microdosing simply allows you to move in the directions you'd rather move with more skill and more facility and more contemplation than you were able to do before. Students who get Bs, they only get As. They don't become geniuses.
Right. Although there's many examples of people, right, getting good grades, finishing their projects, not procrastinating anymore. It's like, okay, and I love that. And then just as a little side, you know, Jordan, you wrote a book on rebounding called The Bounce. So do you enjoy microdosing and rebounding simultaneously?
Yes, absolutely. Microdosing while you're rebounding and working on your multiple cells. I do that all the time. And also at the gym, I really like to go work out when I'm on a microdose. So, I mean, I personally have experienced that sort of enhanced, you know, performance level that it brings. And again, it's just sort of, you know, Ayelet Waldman's book, A Really Good Day. Often you forget you've even been on a microdose, and then at the end of the day you realize, wow, that was a really good day. I was, you know, effective and got along with everybody and things went great. So, I mean, for some people, that right there is a breakthrough to start having good days. And then the other thing that we hear from people a lot is that they feel like they're back, like they're themselves again. And you know, all of this comes from the combination of what we've been talking about as sort of the three main scientific underpinnings of what's going on. You have neuroplasticity, and we can say more about that. You have a pretty powerful anti-inflammatory effect, and you have this general tendency to return to homeostasis or equilibrium. So when people are feeling better, they start making better choices, and they start performing better, and they stop eating so much stuff that's bad for them, and they find that they're sleeping better. So it all kind of builds on itself, and they have more really good days. But you know, all along that line, there's no major transformative eureka moments of seeing the cosmos.
That's great. because it's also, you know, what I found with microdosing is just a sort of subtle thing comes up behind one going, why I'm happy, just as a subtle thing. And it reminds me of the 96-year-old woman on Groucho Marx a million years ago, and she was just really formidable and great. And Groucho said, you're 96 and you're so together, you must have the secret of happiness. And she said, why, Groucho, I realize there's no such thing as happiness, and you just have to be happy without it. Anyway, so because we could fill that in. I realize there's no such thing as enlightenment.
Beautiful. That's just great. Let's leave just as it is.
Yeah, it is. It's very wonderful, right? So I think that's part of what I'm going, right, there's no such thing. You just have to be. But it sort of creeps up. Anyway, so you get the point, and you understand. And you express that too. So yeah. So anything more? You mentioned you wanted to say more about neuroplasticity. Yes. Say more about neuroplasticity. You know, as people are healing that, but also for just to be a full human.
Yeah. So we're pretty sure at this point that microdosing isn't a placebo, and one of the reasons is that the different ways of measuring neuroplasticity, from brain scans to blood flow scans to BDNF markers in the brain, they all look similar with microdosing, but at a much lower and much diminished level. So we've borrowed a metaphor from Andrew Huberman. Andrew Huberman, the science podcaster, says that on a large dose, it's like you've taken a large lever and you get a boulder to get out of its spot, and it starts rolling through the village of your mind and body. And that's neuroplasticity, and you have to be aware it's coming and, you know, direct it away from buildings where people are and farms, so you have to deal with it. Well, with microdosing, you're using a much, much smaller lever, and it's kind of getting this rock moving. But it's happening on day one, and then, as we talked about a little bit, on day two, and then you're mainly fully resetting on day three. But as you microdose over a period of 6 to 8 weeks before you take a couple of weeks off, there's something about the ongoing pattern and the ongoing feeling that this is going on that you're more able to tune into, and you're more able to make use of. And one last thing is that one of the last studies we were to include in the book is by a guy named Connor Murray, and they're actually using this term, which is neural complexity. And they found that microdosing definitely increases it, and that sometimes if you do more than microdosing, you don't get that. So we know it's going on, and we know that the brain is more able to pop neurons, and populations of neurons are better able to talk to each other, and new connections are made. And we always use the term rewiring, although it's not a perfect analogy. So we know that there is an ability to create new connections and to let go of connections that aren't serving you. And because it's such a small amount, but it's going on this repetitive level with this you know, very small rock of neuroplasticity moving through the village of your mind, you really have the opportunity to see it and sense it and direct it where you want so that you can get the most value from it.
Right. It's a partner. It's a partnership, and it is, so yeah. Neuroplasticity, equilibrium, the wonderful word deliberate comes from Libra, and two verbs, librare, to liberate, and libare, to balance. So to be deliberate is to be in a state of liberating balance. I love that. So it enhances deliberation. I mean, these are all things that we really do need. Because I view your book and both of your dedication and this whole realm as really essential to us now. You know, because it's like everything's trying to help the humans out to be better Earth citizens, right? And that is part of that dynamic. And then just you know, you go lemon, lemon teching, pouring lemon juice over powdered psilocybe, soak for 25 minutes, accelerates the psilocybe. Do you want to say more about that?
Yeah, it predigests it, so it comes on sooner. And it also, for people who have some kind of stomach concern with mushrooms, and some people do, it takes that away. So it's just a popular way of making it a little easier on the system when you're using mushrooms.
And then just
usually
for the...
people
No, you go.
Go ahead. Well, okay.
No.
Usually people are only doing that when they're doing larger doses, but it also kind of points to some of the differences between LSD and psilocybin. Psilocybin's a little bit trickier to get the right dose, both because the different cultivars or varieties of psilocybin, some of them have 300 or 400% more psilocybin than others, and also psilocybin, people get high to different degrees based on how healthy their intestines and stomach are. So somebody who, you know, takes the same amount will actually experience more if they're healthier. So it can be a little bit trickier balancing psilocybin and figuring out the right dose, which is why we always recommend that people start at the very low end of the recommended dosage range for beginners.
I think I'd just like to kind of mention, because it's a huge use, is people who have what's called treatment-resistant depression, which means the meds that are out there don't work, and that's quite usual. They report that very, very often, within a few rounds of microdosing, the depression simply starts to lift, and they find themselves not only not depressed, meaning not miserable, sad, down, glum, but they also notice that they are more happy. And I think this, that wonderful quote is, happiness is not external. It's an inner state, and you can do it, you know, kind of sitting in your chair or hanging over a cliff or, you know, in the middle of whatever you're doing, happiness can appear. And microdosing simply seems to allow that natural internal function to come on more easily and more often.
And then, you know, so there's what's the more frequent, the microdosing of psilocybin mushrooms and LSD. And what is a microdose? 10 micrograms of LSD? Is that what you say?
No. You just said thousands of doses there. Millions of a gram. Millions of a gram.
Really?
Okay. And you know better.
Set us straight.
Microdose of LSD is, for most people, around 7 to 12 micrograms.
Micrograms. That's what I meant. Micrograms.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. So 10. And for people who, you know, have experienced this or get little bottles of it, it's one drop, right? One drop is usually 10 micrograms.
Yeah.
Well, it depends if it's a drop of microdosing. If it's a regular full-on bottle where each drop has 100 micrograms, then you have to prepare your own little potion and put distilled water in and put the number of drops in so that you know that you're getting something at that, you know, very low level.
Right, which is why you say, you know, as Eric Davis, also hello friend of show, says that, you know, people were taking blotter LSD and cutting it up, and you go, that's not a good idea. No, that's not a good idea.
No.
And then similarly, you know, let's say we have a few minutes here before I must dedicated pitch, but you go through a whole litany of physical psychic things that are alleviated, including shingles. Do you want to just run down, you know, a list of things that you have found improved? Yeah.
Well, Jordan, you want to just start the list?
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing to understand is that in some cases we only have one case study. What we have is about 40 conditions that we talk about that we have something interesting to say about. And if you'd like, I'll just read through it really quickly. Here we go. And chapter 4 is current findings of special interest. These are the sort of the six big ones that we thought were interesting enough to call out. That's ADHD, depression, long COVID, microdosing to help taper off of medications, pain, long-term chronic pain, and women's health. And that's chapter 4. And then we have chapter 5 is an A to Z list of 35. And I'll do this really quick. Anorexia, anxiety, asthma relief, autism, Asperger's high functioning, autism, severe in children, binge eating, bipolar disorder, body weight problems, cannabis, reduction or quitting, cerebral palsy, cluster headaches, color blindness, red, green, common cold, dizziness, perpetual, eczema, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, epilepsy, headaches, migraine,
wow,
inflammatory bowel disease, libido lacking, lupus, Lyme disease, multiple sclerosis, palliative care, pornography addiction, post-traumatic stress disorder, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, PMDD, premenstrual syndrome, schizophrenia, sleep, stroke, stuttering, traumatic brain injury, and Bacillus-Zoster virus or shingles. So we're not saying that it's going to help in all of these, but we have at least one good case study. And in some of these, like with migraines or with cluster headaches, we have a lot of people, and in some cases there are entire organizations dedicated to these things, and some of their recommendations go down to starting at the microdosing range. Jim?
So, but before you say, wait a moment, who are these hucksters saying it's good for everything and it'll shine my shoes? Huh? Right. And the answer is all of these respond to things that are good for you. And if you think of that, if I say, well, what's good for everything? You say, I don't know, nothing is good for everything. How about sleep? Well, that's good for everything. How about exercise? Well, that's good for everything. How about improving your diet? Well, that's good for everything. Well, what we're seeing is anything that makes the whole body become healthier is good for all systems. So what you see in that incredible list is simply different ways in which the body is not working well, and the body then gets help in doing the healing that it's capable of doing. So that's why it's such an extraordinary list, because it's really saying all of these are things that help you feel better in the way you were feeling not better.
No, and this also points to a really big difference between microdosing and pharmaceuticals, is that pharmaceuticals generally only suppress symptoms. They're there to mask what's going on. They're not actually there to heal you. While microdoses of these substances do seem to heal people in different ways over time.
Right. And a crucial other distinction that a lot of the pharmaceuticals, you can't stop, right? You can't, it's like returning a rental car. You can't back up, or it'll get you.
So it's right.
And I think I had a pretty holistic doctor who recommend, I can't remember what it was, but then I read the thing and it's like, no, once you start this, you can't stop. I'm like, no, go with me, get away from me. So we're rewiring. What you're really saying is that it's kind of rewiring ourselves to ourselves so that we're attracted to that which is good for us rather than the addiction to that which is not good. And that becomes clearer. Like, I just don't want to eat that food. I do want to eat this, right? So it's really, you know, connecting people to their own wise autonomy. Can we say that?
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Gotcha.
No, almost always your body, if you ask, will give you the answer that says this would be healthier for you. And a lot of the time we say, but I happen to want this huge piece of cheesecake. And your body says, mm-hmm, I'll talk to you later.
Well, right. There is the human perversity, you know. Many anecdotes, but we're too close for me to distract us with those at the moment. But yeah, and also to everybody, if you want to know more details, get this book, and I'll be pitching in a dedicated fashion in several minutes here. But yeah, that's a great list, and thank you both so much for your dedication and this really useful book that I'm taking to heart. I'm going to go. I will be a more disciplined wild person. It's really great. It's a whole program. So in our last, I'm gonna reluctantly release you both so that I can keep the station on the air, and pitch your beautiful book. We do want to announce your book signings.
Yes,
I have it here.
Okay, go ahead.
Well,
we have one in Santa
yes,
Cruz on March 2nd.
Yep.
Jordan.
Yeah, we have one in Santa Cruz on March 2nd at Bookshop Santa Cruz, which is going to be at 4 o'clock. And then we have one in Corte Madera at Book Passage, and I'm not seeing
March 30th.
The date or the time right.
It's on the 30th.
Thank you. It's on the
at
30th
four.
At 4 o'clock.
Right, I've got it here. That's wonderful. I'm going to reluctantly release you both. The book is so rich. We could keep going forever. And wonderful. Thank you very much, team.
Thank you. Always wonderful to be with you.
Great. Yes. And say hi to wonderful Dorothy. Okay. All right, team. All right. So here we are. We are in Fund Drive. I'm reluctantly releasing the lads, the dedicated lads, 800-439-5732. And so really, just to keep it simple, you know, we're primarily, there are many, many gifts at kpfa.org, many pledge and enticements, you know, but I'm focusing really on this book, Microdosing for Health, Healing, and Enhanced Performance. I think it just addresses so much of our condition now. So that's for a pledge of $150. And let me remind everybody that any amount is a wonderful thing, and has been referenced, right, Pacifica and KPFA, you know, we haven't been taking government funds, so they can't be cut off, right? So we are really only listener-sponsored. There's great merit to that. And so microdosing for health, healing, and enhanced performance. And as they went down the list of things that are improved, you know, shingles and ADHD and depression and long COVID and chronic pain and asthma and, you know, and inflammation and all of those things. So this is so wonderful. And, you know, again, for all of us to be as good Earth citizens as possible. And then for bonus points, let me just entice us here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Anonymous. That's great. Anonymous in Albany. Thank you. We're on the board. All right. So, because, you know, here we are. And then just in our own chart today, our own, because we are, you know, anarcho-entheo-astro-animists here, there is a beautiful pattern called Thor's hammer. It doesn't have a beautiful word to it, but it's the sun, 135 degree angle to Mars, 135 degree angle to the moon, and a square between them. It's called Thor's hammer, and it's the capacity to sweep corruption out of the halls of governance. So everybody gets that, you know, in your metaphoric magic backpack. Who wants a Thor's hammer to sweep corruption out of the halls of governance? Yes, you do. And you can even more have access to your Thor's hammer by calling 800-439-5732 or pledging online at kpfa.org. So, you know, we are in a huge conundrum, right? We're asking for help as humans, going, ooh, we want complexity. We want to be kinned. We want these sacraments of kinship, and the microdosing, you know, is really intriguing and an antidote to American, the gorge theory of pleasure. Again, sacraments of collaborative kinship. We could call the radio show, the radio station, that symbiotic mutualism, right? And participatory animism, you know, especially welcome right now to cultivate qualities of curiosity, confidence, and kindness. You know, and to dree our weird, right? To dree our weird. Oh, and thank you, Anonymous in Forestville. Comment, hi, Caroline, your positivity and enthusiasm help keep me from giving up hope in these times. That's good. No, we're here. We're here. We are a community. We are a team. And because I might as well be completely here. My oldest sister died February 1st. My oldest brother is dying, and I must go see him tomorrow. And then right before the radio show, a cousin called and said, oh, you know, your cousin Nancy died just now. I'm like, whoa, whew, there's a rush to the exit. So I'm here with us, right? I'm here with the community of the Visionary Activist team at this powerful time, right, going, whoa. You know, and life is precious, and we help each other in these huge moments, you know, everywhere in a micro or macro way. You know, there's a death and rebirth. Pluto says to all of us, well, it's at a degree which hums in all of us. Its image is a deserter from the military following their own wilderness path. We go, right, well, let's send this out as a blessing. Let's send this out as a blessing, you know, that everyone be a deserter from the military following their own wilderness path. And Pluto says, well, you humans, you know, and Visionary Activist Show and Pacifica, KPFA, all you have to do is completely redesign human culture, right? And then we'll have another task for you before lunch, right? So to redesign human culture, and then what helps us to do that? What helps us to be you know, good Earth citizens. I think the astrological language and the entheogens and the microdosing are part of this skill set, which is why, again, we're offering this really, really rich, useful book, Microdosing for Health, Healing, and Enhanced Performance. Nothing that can't be healed. Let's just go for that in some form, and you can call 800-439-5732 or pledge securely online to kpfa.org. And there's many other gifts you could have. And then thank you, Anonymous in Richmond. You are a beacon in the night. Well, we are beacons unto each other. We are beacons unto each other. We are dedicated, increasingly helping each other, mutual aid, to be dedicated to collective well-being. Whatever we see out there in the world that's horrific, may it strengthen our dedication to cultivate all of our gifts and contribute them to the community in a manner of reciprocal blessing. And that's really, you know, Fund Drive is that, to cultivate all of our gifts and to contribute them to the community in a manner of reciprocal blessing, to and fro. So, yes. We are touting this book by James Fadiman, and I was a repeat guest here, and Jordan Gruber. Yes, I'm going to I have a rebounder upstairs. Microdosing and rebounding. There we go. We have our home studios. So Microdosing for Health, Healing, and Enhanced Performance for a pledge of $150. And then let me remind everyone that any pledge is completely welcome, any amount. And for bonus points, to simply add a dedication, you know, in your heart, you know, by the pledging of this, this $5, this $5,000, this whatever it is, may it be that all who are in need will find their way. You know, I get lots of, you know, email and calls from people way out there in the wilderness going, I live on a military base, and the Visionary Activist Show is a beacon of sanity because you always and your guests always say what I'm thinking or feeling or make useful things available. I go, yeah, well, let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Again, 800-439-5732. So many rich and good things. And then I'm just reaching for notes here. So important. We can do things actively. We can do things together imaginatively. Radio is magic because it's invisible. It's very, very different from TV, right, which is always sort of slimy. But here we are backstage together, and we are imagining. And for a long time, you know, we've been also dedicated with many, many, many other people doing, you know, far harder work in walking Leonard Peltier home safe. And we did it. You know, again, people have been working with him for 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, you know. Some strange sounds here, maybe. But Leonard has been walked home safe. And that's crucial. And so we do active things, you know, the activism part, and we do the vision part. And together, it's the sine qua non, the trickster medicine that lives in us, that comes alive in dangerous times, you know, is what this show and what all of us really are dedicated to. Because it's the sine qua non, you know, that renders all other dedications effective. So just inviting and magnetizing that as you call 1-800-439-5732. And if you want a wonderful gift for $150, you can have the book Microdosing for Health, Healing, and Enhanced Performance by James Fadiman and Jordan Gruber, and many, many other things. Thank you, Stephen and Petaluma, who pledged for microdosing for health, healing, and enhanced performance. Sustainer, who pitches more in during fundraising. Caroline, the Rainbow Bridge, makes the ancestors available everywhere. Thank you. Yes, that's true. So let's keep it going here, team. We've got four-ish wonderful minutes. Let's make them full and rich. And again, thanks to Stephen and thanks to Priscilla. Wonderful Priscilla. So grateful for Caroline and all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, back at you. Reciprocal blessing. And Jupiter chimes in. Jupiter is quintile Neptune now. All the powerful stories that ever were or will be are available now. And Jupiter says to all of us, what is the one way of relating to the world and everything in it that's guaranteed replenishing and never depleting? Jupiter says, blessing. blessing. You know, and then Rev Ike says, don't say you spent money, because that's exhausted. Say you circulated. We're inviting you to circulate some money. There we go. You can circulate $150 or more, surprise us, you know, for the wonderful book that we're proffering, Microdosing for Health, Healing, and Enhanced Performance, by calling 800-439-5732 or online, kpfa.org. And, you know, remember that, remember something, right? Remember that, remember our dedication. Remember Thor's hammer. And Novato, California. Again, I'm so grateful to have KPFA during these times, the visionary activist I especially like for hope and creative solutions. Yeah, for 28 and a half years or more, you know, we've been dedicated to anything we need to know to have democracy, and critique and solution, but really dedicated also to the liberating trickster within all of us that connects to the liberating trickster out there in the world, in nature. You know, and that's the part of us that comes alive in dangerous times, you know, that is against all odds, is like, okay, we can do this. And we're here to encourage, another wonderful word, to feed the heart, to encourage each other, and reciprocal blessing. May it go well for you and for you, you know, to weave the day together through the blessing. You know, so think also of Fundrise as an opportunity for blessing. And again, any amount that you want to pledge is completely welcome, completely welcome. You know, we need help in this time, and plants, you know, and LSD, you know, in their microdose form are completely unique in that form from the larger doses. And to cultivate complexity and nuance, to hold multiple stories at once. So, you know, we're in our final 2-ish minutes here. It would be great to have the board light up, the phones light up, by calling 800-439-5732 or online, kpfa.org. So for the book, Microdosing for Health, Healing, and Enhanced Performance, I'm taking it to heart. I mean, I've been an entheo enthusiast, you know, since birth, basically. But this is added, like, oh, right, and to add some structure and discipline for structure and discipline, you know, in our lives, that we all cultivate all of our skills, you know, all the skills that we have to participate, you know, and that's also what we're pledging for, you know, 800-439-5732. And this book, Microdosing for Health, Healing, and Enhanced Performance, so that we can cultivate all of our participatory skills. And astrology and mythology, regardless of whatever we think they are really one of the oldest guides to what it is to be a fully participatory citizen. We have our imaginations, we have our action, we have our ways of collaborating. So, you know, again, everything, who brought what? All we have is us, right? Now, all we have is us. But us is quite a lot. You know, all we have is community. And increasingly appreciating this great station. And thank you, Alan. Thank you, Alan, very much. So in support of Caroline's life work, we need you more than ever. Thank you. I need you more. We all need each other more than ever. All right, we're on our way out. 800-439-5732. Thank you, team. We're all in this dream together, wishing each other well. And call on behalf of your animals. A lot of animals listen to this show. Call on behalf of those who can't call. Thank you, team. Thank you, Kirsten, Thomas, always. I'm Caroline Casey. We will reconvene next week. Thank you, team. Keep calling.